Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith. For more than 80 years, Dielectric has earned their reputation for providing the most sophisticated antenna signal transmission solutions. Their unique processes help their clients get it right with an upfront design ethos. Monitor and predict failures. Even respond to and recover from catastrophic weather events in record time. Keith Pelletier is president of Dielectric, and he's here to provide an update on how they're doing it. Keith, welcome back to the podcast.
Sean, thanks for having me, and good morning to you.
It's always fun to talk to you because you've got your finger on all the latest that's happening in the industry, and I want to talk a little bit about climate change. It seems that the summers are hotter, the winters are colder, and weather unpredictable, whether it be storms or fires. And Dielectric is a go-to for disaster recovery scenarios. And I wanted you to just talk about that. And perhaps you can give an example as well as you're talking about how Dielectric approaches these kinds of scenarios.
Sure. So, you know, the routine business that we've get is typically a new auxiliary service or a new main antenna, which comes with a standard lead time, and we work through that process. On disaster recovery stuff, typically the way it works is, you know, something happens in the field, whether it's a massive ice storm, towers fall down, or wildfires, or, you know, anything else in between hurricane season. And typically in those types of situations, the customers call in a lot more of a panic and are in need of equipment as quickly as possible. And how do we get our services back on the air? Because we've just been taken off the air. So in those types of scenarios, you know, we go through our typical design phases, but at a much faster clip. So we'll get the engineering team involved immediately, have them working on solutions, taking into account, you know, where that site is, how do we design it with today's technology and have it so it's more robust moving forward, but all in a short, compact time frame. So it's an accelerated path that we take in order to get the customers back giving signals to their audience much quicker. And to answer the second part of your question, last April in northern Michigan, there was a bunch of towers that fell down from an unusual late ice storm. So it was on the brink of rain and snow, and there was a bunch of freezing rain on the towers, and it took down quite a bit of equipment. So we were able to, you know, deploy our engineering team and look at everything from where the site was, where the prevailing winds are, what the new towers were going to look like, and start to design systems quickly for them to be able to get back up and on the air with their FM services.
How are you positioned to be able to deliver for emergency scenarios? It's kind of like you're running a construction company, but you also have an emergency department.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great question. I think, like I said, it goes through the same path. But when those come in, the entire team knows that we've got to drop everything and make sure that, you know, in the background, you know, our standard orders are getting the attention they need. But, you know, this is priority because, you know, someone's out there not being able to get their signals on the air and get their message out, whether it's advertising or just, you know, weather events and being able to tell their listeners what's out there to be had for whatever their audio signal is, I guess, at that point, not just, you know, radio and songs, but, you know, what's coming for weather and emergency alerting and those types of scenarios. So I think the team, just from perspectives on the engineering side, you know, they know that's priority. But if you also look at some of the things that Dielectric's been doing over the years, with technology. So some of the stuff that we do today that was different from 20 years ago is a lot more automated. And we continue to look for technology advancements with our antenna designs and combiner designs that make things a lot more efficient and a lot more quick to deploy. So some of the things that we're doing with HFSS, with pattern studies, you know, being able to get those out quicker and more automated because we're relying on the AI of the arm of HFSS to be able to produce those a lot more quicker. But we're also looking at, you know, everything from new equipment, more compact equipment, standardizing on parts, and those types of things, just advancing ourselves on a day-to-day basis to be able to meet the needs of the broadcasters. And, you know, that's the thing that we always have in the back of our mind. How do we hit the demand of the broadcasters and be able to do it efficiently with the highest of quality? So, you know, we continue to push the envelope in regards to that. And some of the stuff that we do a lot differently than, you know, some of our competition is some of the upfront design process. Take a step back. When we were designing stuff 20 years ago, we'd get it to a point from an engineering standpoint that we knew that it could work. We didn't solve everything, but we said, okay, once that gets on the manufacturing floor, the engineers and technicians will figure it out. What that does is it creates a mentality of once we get out on the manufacturing floor, it's not going to quite work. We need to solve those answers, and it just delays everything because now we've got product on the floor with a committed ship date, but we don't have it quite working. So we took the mentality over the past 20 years to step back and say, if it can get solved on the manufacturing floor, engineering needs to challenge themselves to be able to design that process fully before it goes to the manufacturing side of the house. And we've been able to do that with new tools, a greater, deeper understanding of how the equations, Maxwell equations work. And so what that means is once it hits the manufacturing floor, those guys know without the help of engineering, they're going to get it done. So it eliminates any risk for the customer to be able to get their product in time, which yields us to be able to say, we know we're going to hit that chip date. Engineering is then free to be able to say, if there's a disaster recovery site that happens, they can be all over it. Or if it's the next order, or technical proposal the sales team wants them working on. So we're just trying to eliminate all these roadblocks within our four walls to be able to get the product out, know that we can hit the dates, and be able to adapt to some of these disasters that happen out there with our equipment and or our competitors' equipment so that we can meet the needs of the broadcasters. Does that make sense?
It does. And another thing I'm thinking about is the careful consulting that Dielectric puts into every project. And, you know, you mentioned most projects, you've got the lead time, you're developing a new service, and it's all sort of routine. But sometimes a project is really unique and takes you into new territory. And I'm just wondering how Dielectric's consulting process excels in these situations when you have something that's deeper than the average build, let's say.
Sure, that's a great question. And I think to start off to answer that question, the one thing that we do and we're very proud of doing is we got to understand that every site that a customer comes to us as opposed to just saying, here's our standard cookie cutter response to that site, and we're going to use that at multiple other sites. We understand that the broadcasters, every single site's unique. So what does that mean? That means you need to have a bigger tool belt with more tools in it to be able to say, I am not going to give you a standard product for your site. I'm going to give you a tailored, complete design solution that's going to be unique to you. We're going to use a lot of the same common parts as we design things so that we can be quick and nimble to shipments for the customer. But hardly ever do we design a site with the same product across our portfolio. So on the consulting side, we're doing a lot of stuff to take in those site requirements, mechanical and electrical, designing a site for them and understanding that we can make it unique and maximize for them. So they're not going to get something that pushed into, they're going to get something exactly that they want. So as we're designing that site electrically, we're looking at all the parameters, understanding what their, you know, TPOs are, you know, all of the other boxes that need to be checked, and then we're going to design that site from there. So we end up with a technical proposal to the customer that meets 100% of their needs. And by doing that, you know, the customers feel, even if they have 100 sites, they know that we're going to custom tailor that site to maximize the performance for them in that typical solution. So I think by taking that type of approach and designing up front and taking the time to understand their needs and what they're trying to do, it makes for a much happier customer at the end and a repeat customer at the end.
It sounds to me like adapting is really the key here. And I would guess if you're going to adapt a project based on all the inputs that change rapidly, you've got to have all available inventory. And I understand that you at Dielectric really excel at making sure that you've got the right things available in case.
Yes. So we are trying to use the same lower level parts that we have in inventory, and we can ban them in our inventory to be able to be, you know, I mean, you don't want to have everything unique because obviously then you're going to have to carry so much inventory. So we manage that, but we understand what the lower level parts need to look like to maintain lower levels of inventory. But then at the end, we make sure that we can build exactly what the customer needs. And one of the things that we did in earlier in 2025, we held an event that we called Radiovana. So we invited a lot of top customers from the US, Brazil, and Canada to our factory. And we had a two-day seminar. And at that seminar, in order to, you know, build our momentum within the FM market, we released about 10 products and or service type items that will help the customers, and showcased exactly how we can be nimble, why we're looking at certain different things, and, you know, showed them what we were able to do over the past year with product development. And one of the things that, you know, is a gauge of how well that event went is most of the customers, probably all of the customers that were in attendance, have since purchased products from us. And that event in June, we showcased those 10 products for the first time. And if you go out on the factory floor today, all those products are now being fabricated and manufactured for these end users. So it was a huge success. And taking the approach that we have over the past few years in the FM market, and we will continue to push forward, I think it'll pay off in spades.
I want to talk a bit about preventative medicine. I'm a big fan of how Dielectric does failure prediction, and you've got some next gen monitoring equipment. And when a client finds themselves in need of a fix, whether they see it coming because of this monitoring equipment or it befalls them, you have a track record of performing miracles on sometimes short timelines, like we've mentioned. I'm thinking of Minnesota Public Radio. Can you describe how you got that right for the client?
Yeah, sure. So the Minnesota, a couple different pieces here. The Minnesota Public Radio customer came to us with specific needs. They've had a tower which was overloaded, which forced them not to be able to use radomes, which would help in the development in longevity of that signal staying on the air for all of the winter. They had an older system that kept tripping because of icing. So we started to look at, okay, how can we help this customer and how can we help that, you know, going off the air because of high VSWR stop in the wintertime, or at least minimize it a lot more than what it was today. So we looked at everything from bay orientations to the VSWR bandwidth, to the elevation pattern bandwidth, and all the tricks that we have up our sleeve to be able to make that more of a signal, a robust signal that will stay on the air. So there was probably four or five things that we implemented differently than the previous antenna that made it a lot more stable in those conditions. And, you know, so far with last winter, them going through last winter, they did come back and state, you know, we see elevated VSWR, which you're going to in icing, but we haven't had as nearly as many events where we've gone off the air because of all the careful consideration of going into the details up front for the customer and delivering something different than most have in the past. Just to elaborate a little bit on that, with the VSWR, that, you know, you can tune an antenna very, very narrow band. You can get it in a resonant loop. Don't worry about bandwidth and center it up. And in a lot of cases, that's what a lot of the manufacturers do. We take a step back and look, okay, how much bandwidth can we get out of it? Because we know at the end of the day, the broader it is, the more it's going to do in these nasty icing environments. And, you know, North America or the northern states of the United States, Canada certainly is in that realm as well. And it's those attention to those little details and the entire workforce at Dielectric knowing that we need to do that, that separate us from others. Just to comment a little bit about, you know, the preventative maintenance stuff. We've talked in the past about the RF Hawkeye, and mm-hmm. we continue to deploy the RF Hawkeye on FM systems throughout North America. And you know, that's really where you get into the fact of you can monitor that point for point from your where your signal goes through your filter or combiner all the way up to the antenna and really understand, hey, I'm having trouble here. So we've, you know, like we've discussed in the past, they can see something catastrophic coming, make changes to some small parts to be able to get them back up to speed. You know, whether it's after 15 or 20 years, they're starting to degrade, put new parts in, and then they avoid all of the catastrophic, you know, meltdown of the parts and, you know, losing your entire transmission line run, spending, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of for upgrades. So with this equipment, they're able to make a small purchase and keep their signal on the air for their audience.
One of my favorite pieces. I just love the RF Hawkeye. Mm. Now, it seems that there's a generational change going on no matter, you know, where you live and what kind of work you do. We're seeing older engineers retiring and new techs coming in, but there just aren't as many as there used to be. And I understand that the Dielectric support model is changing to be more responsive to the customer needs, to step a little bit more inside their organization. If it's needed, can you talk about what that looks like and how is Dielectric really helping to fill that gap?
Sure. So a couple of different things there. You know, our support staff does go pretty deep. And one of the things that we've been very successful with versus, you know, some of the broadcasters or even some of the competition is we've developed a process that the engineers need to take to be able to design this and as design the systems. And as they go through it, even though each site's totally different, like we've been talking about, they go through those same steps and it's a lot of computer generation and modeling and equations that they're going through. So we've been able to document that very well. And if you look through my staff, we have, you know, three or four engineers that are in their 20s that are really producing very good results for our customer base and being able to understand what we're going through based on our documentation and process. So they're able to learn things, you know, and come up to speed within 5 years where, you know, back in like in my day, you know, they're probably gaining that knowledge, you know, four or five times quicker than what we did, because it was a lot more manual at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it hats off to our, you know, the dielectric team to be able to document that, to make sure that as we do replace team members, they're coming up to speed relatively quickly. But also, as we had talked about a little bit earlier in this podcast, the broadcasters losing engineers and other things happening in the workplace where, you know, we have to do a lot more consulting. We have to do a lot more work in order to get these jobs. And by being able to automate a lot of things, we're able to focus on taking on some more of those tasks. So it's transparent to the end user. Where am I going to go to do some of this consulting? It's a one-stop shop now where they can come to us. We do a lot of the work up front. They see the value in it, and then they clearly see the value once the product goes up in the air.
Keith, it's always a pleasure chatting with you about the business and about dielectric. And I hope we'll do it again soon. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
You get it, Sean. Always a pleasure to be on.
Keith Pelletier is president of dielectric. He joined us from Maine. For more information, visit dielectric.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sean Smith.